Okay, guys, thanks for coming. I'm Jay Lennington. I'm the middle school and children's pastor at Grace Church. Love those jobs. Love talking to middle schoolers. I never get to talk about dating or marriage to middle schoolers because, like, the boys literally sit on the opposite side of the room as the girls. It's kind of one of my favorite things about middle school. We don't tell them to do that either. They just do that naturally. It's pretty awesome, but that's not happening in here. I've noticed we're mixing it up. Yeah, I've been married for 20 years, which is why I think I got asked to do this talk. I am a huge fan of marriage. It's awesome. It's biblical. I think you guys are curious about it for lots of reasons, and I want to get into that a little bit today, because I think what we're really curious about is dating. Do we have questions about dating? Maybe just, it's okay to raise your hand. No one will judge you. Anybody curious about dating? One brave man. Ladies, pay attention. There he is. He's willing. He's ready. His phone number will be right up here at the end for anybody who wants to talk to him. I know you all are. I think the biggest issue about dating for you guys is that it's pretty confusing. There's so much weird information out there about dating, especially when you add that word Christian to it. Christian dating. What is it? Dating is so mysterious, and I think it's normal to have questions, and I think what I want to do today is, I know you're tired, I'm super tired, I think I just don't want to overload your brains too much, but give you a sense of what I think God wants you to know, which is a desire to date. It's meant to lead you towards a desire for marriage, which is a very good thing. It's not a weird thing. It's the way God made you. And I want to get into that a little bit and maybe just talk for a few minutes about who this person is that you should be looking for in dating. Okay. What does that person look like? I was messing around on the internet last night, just kind of looking up what sort of information was out there about Christian dating. And I typed in those three words, what did I type in? It was like a Christian dating book. And here's the top five. How should a Christian date? It's not as complicated as you think. I kind of agree with that one. Here's another one. The Sacred Search, updated and revised. So the search has changed, apparently. Waiting and Dating, a Sensible Guide. I Kissed Dating Goodbye. Sorry. And then fifth, God is a matchmaker. So I don't know. What are you supposed to do? I really don't know. What are you supposed to do with those? There's hundreds more of just, are you supposed to buy those? Are you supposed to read them? Are you supposed to highlight stuff in them? Are they supposed to be your guide for who you're supposed to sit next to in a chat like this, or whose number you're supposed to get besides that brave man down there? I think understanding what marriage is about gives us a lot of perspective on what dating is meant for. And I want to get into that a little bit because I think it really will help shape maybe some of this curiosity that you have right now. And for a lot of you, this phase of life that you're in right now, and for almost all of you, this is the next big thing that's happening in your life. And I just want to let God's word give us a little bit of perspective. A lot of passages that give us some helpful principles. I know you've searched. You guys are blessed to have AI. You've probably typed it in, like, what's the Bible say about dating? Nothing. It really doesn't say anything about it. But so many great passages that give us principles as we think about, especially understanding marriage just a little bit more. And I think it'll help guide us through this thing that were curious about this thing called dating. So Bible helps us understand it. I've already said it, and I think if you're going to take notes, I would just want you to write this down. Why do I have questions about dating? Why am I like so interested in having this, you know, boyfriend or girlfriend, or why am I having these like, you know, thoughts about what it would be like to be married someday? All those things are happening. And girls, you've probably been thinking about this a little longer than the guys have, because guys are pretty dumb in junior high and most of high school. But I love you guys. I'm with you. I know. But I just want you to know, and I think this is worth kind of really embracing and understanding, this is happening because God made you that way. I think that's so important to understand, that God made you that way. And I think it's so helpful for us to kind of look at this with this approach. There's a dozen directions we could go in a talk like this. We could highlight all the confusion of dating. We could talk about the world's horrible understanding of relationship, the world's approach to dating and marriage, how bad it is. That could be another talk. We could probably talk about purity. In fact, I'll recommend, since you're in first hour, I'll recommend you go to Holcomb next hour and listen to Pastor Austin talk about purity. It'll be really helpful for you. I think we could look at Romans 6 and unpack how to honor the Lord as a believer, someone who's termed a slave to righteousness and what that's meant to look like in your life. That would be important in a talk like dating, but not really what I want to do this morning. I want to help you understand from your Bible that, again, your desire for relationship, for dating, for ultimately marriage, it's normal. It's a good thing. It's the way God made you. It's good. It's God-given. And I want to help you understand that it's God who gives you that desire, and dating is good, and that again, dating is supposed to lead to something called marriage. So we believe dating's good, but again, we believe marriage is so much better. So I want you to leave with those two things. One, understand why you have this desire for dating, why you have this desire for relationship, that it's normal, that it's good. And then number two, maybe a little bit better picture of who this person might look like that I'm supposed to be pursuing this relationship thing with, okay? What's that person look like? What's God have to say about both of those? So let's start with that first one. Why do you have this interest in dating? Number one, again, because it's God-given. God gives you this built-in desire for companionship. Even for some of you guys who are like, man, my best day is all alone. Anybody like that? Don't raise your hand, dude, because you're doing so good right now. Don't. Even that kind of person who has that built-in sort of desire to be alone, that introvert, truly even God made them to desire companionship. And you could really say that you have this God-given inclination and desire for relationship. Genesis chapter 1, if you have your Bible, I know you know it, but it might just be helpful to look at it as we read it. But in chapter 1, we read that God creates both male and female, and he makes both of them in his image, and he put them into this unique relationship, and it's 100% what we would call marriage, okay? It's marriage. And God wanted Adam and Eve to have a family and to have dominion over the earth. Verse 31 of chapter 1, God looked at all his creation and he says it's all very good. It's all very, very good. Now in Genesis chapter 2, we sort of have a Bible kind of way of, okay, let's go back and get a little more detail. What was all that like? What happened? We have an explanation of some of that creation, and especially with Adam and Eve. Look at verse 15. Now, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Then the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helper fit for him. Now out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. I think about that verse a lot. I've had two dogs in our home recently, and we struggled to name both those dogs. Adam had to name every living creature. Crazy. Anyway, verse 20. I told you I was tired. Sorry. The man gave names to all the livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. This is not a good strategy to find a date, by the way, or a potential fiance or spouse. More sleep and more prayer, although both really good. Not what God's recipe for finding a spouse actually is, okay? So that's not it. Verse 22, the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So to help us understand this curiosity that we have with dating, with a desire to be in relationship, I do think it's actually really helpful for us to just look at marriage and to understand what marriage is actually about. Now, I want you to know, I know marriage and dating are not the same thing. I know you know that too. But understanding what God says about marriage can help us grasp what the whole point of dating actually is. Okay? Because we do live in a world of confusion. We do live in a culture that has really warped relationship and companionship and marriage and dating too, of course. Falls under that, but I want you to understand why we might want to date someone and begin to answer those questions of when are we ready for this thing called dating and what this dating relationship would look like and what it's for. So I'm going to just give you like the junior high sentence. Dating is preparing you for marriage. Dating is preparing you for marriage. It's a special relationship intended to lead you to the ultimate relationship in marriage. So dating is so tricky and so complicated because the moment that relationship begins, it's going to one of two places, either marriage or nothing. So it's kind of what makes it so vulnerable and why we have such questions about it. But it is a relationship that's meant to lead you toward marriage. So why are we interested in it? Well, because of the way God made you. Look at verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helper fit for him. So everybody has an aloneness problem. Yes, you have a sin problem. I've been talking about that this week. But you also have a fundamental problem just in the very way that God made you. You have an aloneness issue here, a problem. And the purpose of marriage is to solve that loneliness problem. Guys, you specifically are in need of a certain kind of companionship. You're in need of something here. How did God help Adam? Let's look at it. Here's what God did. He said, I'll make a helper suitable for you, or fit for you. Two really important words, helper and suitable. So girls, you're to be a helper. Doesn't sound all that great right off the top, but let me help you. By God's design, you're meant to be a support to that man in a very specific way. He's lacking something. There's something about that particular man that he needs your help and specific help, things that you're particularly good at or gifted in or able to help him. I'll say it this way. Without him, he'll never be who God truly intends him to fully be. He can't quite get there on his own, which kind of helps us, guys. We need to be humbled in that. You need this helper to assist you to get to this place that God really, truly wants you to be, to live for him and serve him, whatever that might be, whatever that might look like. You need her help. Girls, what an honor, I think. What high praise for you that you have something that he does not, something that can allow him to get to this place where God really wants him to be. This guy that God intends you to be with, ladies, he's unique and God has a plan for his life. But I'm going to say it again, he's never going to be quite who he is meant to be without your help. And that's amazing. Wives help husbands fulfill that role God's made for them. And it's not just any helper, it's a suitable one, one that is fit for him, specifically designed. I think that's really, really helpful. It's the closest of companionship. It's a relationship that far surpasses whatever kind of best friend you've had up to this point. It's way more than that. It's an intimate relationship. But it's two pieces like of a puzzle that they only fit together. They're meant to be with each other. That's kind of the point here. And so God's made you to need someone. It's bad to be alone. You need companionship. It's really helpful. You're meant to share your life with each other. Guys, you're meant to share your life with her. Ladies, you're meant to share your life with this young man. Girls, you want to be a part of his life. You may think, why? You know, what's that about? Well, specifically because God has designed you to fill that role. God's designed you to share your life with this young man and be a part of his life. Verse 20, look at this. Adam knows for the first time what God already knew. He has a need for companionship and it cannot be met by anything else. I think that that's so helpful. A cute little dog's not going to do it. A gross cat isn't going to help him. I don't like cats. I'm sorry if you do. That's what's happening here. You need something more than 50 pet rabbits, which be careful with rabbits. You'll have more than you want really fast. But guys, you're looking for this custom-made girl. And it's custom-made by the Lord. Ladies, you're searching for this one whom God intends your life to fit perfectly together with his life. You're the answer to each other's need for companionship. So this is the way God designs it. It's the highest manifestation of friendship, of relationship. It's a marriage. And that's what we see in the very next verses, verse 23 and 24. These are the marriage verses. Girl takes the man's name. And these two become one. And there's this leaving and cleaving. It's so important. This verse really helpful. Verse 24 says, you leave your parents and you hold fast to your spouse. I think leaving is pretty self-explanatory. Guys, are you ready to leave your mama? No. He knows it. Not ready. Sometimes I think we're in such a hurry to enter this dating relationship that we don't actually understand where it's headed. And by the time you realize, like, well, the next thing for us would be marriage. Well, my mom's pancakes, who's going to make those now? Are you going to fold my shirts the way that my mom did? My dad has changed my oil. I don't even know where the oil is in my car. I don't know what to do. Am I ready to leave my house, my parents, their care, their, yeah, you think they're annoying, like for the last like 3 years and probably for the next couple, but they've been pretty good to you. Are you ready to leave? How will you survive? If your first thought is, where are all the Nerf guns going to go? Like, that's probably not ready, okay? But more than leaving, we see this other word, and I think this one's actually more helpful, hold fast to. Some of you, you know, I already said it. We use that word cleaving, I think because it rhymes with leaving, and it's fun to say. But what is that about, holding fast to or cleaving to this person? I'll tell you, it means glue. I used to be a carpenter for like 10 years before I became a youth pastor, and I loved doing that stuff and got to help with some of the things here, and it was a joy for me to build some of that Price is Right stuff. And last 2 days, I've had so much like tape and glue. I made that golf putting thing, and I put glue on the OSB, and when I went to flip the thing over, I got glue all over my shirt. And I was like, oh no. And then I was like, oh no. My hands. That's what cleaving is. This is like way worse than Gorilla Glue. Way more serious. I don't mean worse. I mean, this is real glue. Sticking to. If your dad is a welder, you maybe know somebody who does, like, it's soldering. This is a done deal. Two things stick together. So when we talk about this idea of cleaving or, you know, being together like this, I want you to think about it this way. And maybe you could write that down. This is establishing an unrivaled relationship. You don't know this kind of relationship yet, but this is a kind of relationship that is now new in a way. There's no competition for this relationship. Nothing rivals it or threatens it. This marriage, it's permanent, and it's the kind of glue that makes it exclusive. I'll say it this way. It's the second most important decision you're going to make in your entire life. First, I believe, is coming to faith in Christ. That's so important. No more important decision than that. But this, I believe, is second. It's so important. So, fellas, I get that you think that she's cute. And ladies, I understand that you think that he's really dreamy. But are you ready to be permanently committed to this person? Are you ready for God's super glue? Because that's what this relationship is about. That's where this is headed. So it's just questions that immediately start to make us think, am I ready for dating? Which I know it's meant to point me to marriage. Well, right away, I know for probably a lot of us in here, the leaving part scares us. But this super glue part is even more like, I'm not quite ready for this. And that's okay. But I think it's good for us to understand what we're meant to think about and understand from God's word where this is headed. So the Bible has so much more to say about marriage. The roles of a husband and of a wife. We could look at those, and I think it could help us a little bit. But even with just Genesis chapter 2, we see that if marriage is such a serious thing, then what does that teach us about dating? This also, too, is not something to just be flippant with or just kind of be like, who cares? Let me date a bunch of people and try to figure this out. No. This is a very serious thing. It's something that, again, as most of us think about and most of us hear this morning, even with just those two words, leaving and cleaving, we realize not quite ready for this thing. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't start thinking about marriage. Because again, it's God-given. It's the way he made you. It's normal and good. It's not something to be, you know, freaking out about. But these desires you have for companionship, again, I just want you to know God created you that way. This is starting to kick in, or it's maybe been kicked in for a while. It's going, and all that's very good. But this is now where it's leading you. And I think that that's so good. Marriage is good. God calls it very good. Genesis chapter 1. Proverbs 18:22, we read, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing." I think that's, by the way, I think that's for both. It's not like just dudes win. Sorry, ladies. Like, it's not that. It's a good thing for both parties. Marriage is good. But God wants us to know that marriage is not just for your companionship need. Marriage is a reflection of something even better. Now go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5. I want to go fast just because I think it's helpful for us to remember God always has even a bigger purpose than us. But Ephesians 5:22, here we get the roles of both the wife and the husband. Verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body." And then listen to this. This passage actually ties us back into Genesis 2. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." This mystery is profound. Paul says, but I'm saying it refers to Christ and the church. So what's the Bible teaching us here? Well, ultimately, marriage is meant to be a reflection of the way that Christ loves those who are his, loves the church, loves believers. It's a picture of the gospel, of his gospel, to the watching world. Your relationship in marriage, and we can kind of backpedal to dating a little bit, but it's meant to show people who do not know Christ, who do not know the things of the Lord, and go, something's different. What is this? Why this care for each other? Why this serving each other? Why this commitment to each other? What do you mean you've been dating for 6 months and you're going to keep dating him? What's wrong with you? The world would say, not me. That's what this whole thing is about. It's meant to be a picture of the way that Christ loves those who are his. And it's a reminder how Jesus is ahead of all the believers, how we're to submit to him, how much he loves us. So how cool that even this relationship, Genesis 2 and Proverbs 18 says, this is such a good relationship for you. This is such a good thing. How cool that even in that, God has a bigger purpose. That he wants your relationship to be even more light and more salt. Matthew 5, you're meant to be that on your own, by yourself. But now together, we're kind of leveling up here. That's what it's meant to be. A showcase for the gospel. Amazing reason God gives you this desire for this kind of ultimate friendship, this ultimate relationship. It's to be a picture to the world of submission and love and selfless service to each other. It's awesome. But even in that, you can kind of start to ask yourself, like, am I ready right now for marriage? I think the answer is like a big fat no. Some of you are really close, maybe a year or two, or that scares your mama, but it's coming, it's close. 5, maybe, some of you 10, but we understand that this is a serious thing, and we should think about it right. And understanding marriage, it shapes the way we think about dating, the way we think about this person that I might be interested in. So if dating is meant to lead you to marriage, then hopefully you see that this person, even in dating, is potentially going to have a massive impact on your life. And this is where I think we can really learn a lot. This is so helpful. If this thing leads to marriage, then that means they're going to be that companion solution to you for the rest of your life. Then we got to be so careful about who this person is. We want to be so aware and mindful of who they are. Let's back down from marriage and dating, even just talk about friendship. God has so much to tell us about the kind of people that we put in our sphere, the kind of people that we're around and hang with. Don't let people choose you for friendship. You choose them. That's basic Proverbs. Proverbs 1, chapter 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. Do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. You don't like the Old Testament? Fine. New Testament, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. You guys know those passages? Man, even in a normal relationship, friendship, we're to be so careful about who those people are that we allow to influence us. So as we ramp up the seriousness of that relationship, now how much more important is that person that we're thinking about dating or thinking about ultimately being, what do we say? Super glued to. Don't enter into that relationship with an unbeliever. Friendships, relationships, marriage, all bad if they're not a believer. So you need to think wisely about what kind of person you're interested in dating, what kind of person you might ultimately be married to. I just want to be super clear, first and foremost. I mean, off the top, write it down. If they're not a believer and you are, you have no business with that person. I don't care what color his eyes are. Ladies, if he is not a Christian and you are trying to follow Christ, you have no business dating that boy. Fellas, it's true for you too. It's not a tool for evangelism. You chuckled because you're thinking about it. I could bring her to church. Great. Be a friend. Invite her to church. But not to date her. If they're not an unbeliever, you guys have no business entering into that kind of relationship. God gives one requirement for marriage, and it's that both of you are in the Lord. You must be equally yoked. And if you're not, you're just asking for all kinds of trouble. My wife's name's Leah. I said it at the very beginning, we've been married for 20 years. It's been awesome. I would say so much about Leah, but as I think about this kind of talk or this kind of passage, I'm reminded of some huge things. Leah knows me really, really well. She knows all my weaknesses. She knows my sinfulness. She knows my shortcomings. She knows all my faults. We are not perfect. We don't have a perfect marriage, but as I think about my relationship with her, I know that she knows me. And I know that she knows how to encourage me when I need encouragement. And she can do that like no one else can. Leah knows how to help me when I need help. And she can do that like nobody else can. She knows how to support me when I need support. I would say, especially in ministry, she knows how to help me be a better pastor. Reminds me to call someone or pray for someone or go see someone. It's so helpful. I would not be the kind of pastor I would be without her. And I know personally, she encourages me just as a guy, as a Christian. She encourages me in my pursuit of Christ. It has nothing to do with my job or me as a dad, even though that has an impact on it, but she just wants me to be a better follower of Christ. I'm so thankful for that. And hopefully I'm accomplishing all the same things in her life, except the pastor part. But, you know, I want her to be encouraged, and hopefully I can do that. I want to help her when I can, and I think I'm the best fit for that. But I want her to follow Christ better. I know part of my job as her husband is to encourage her walk with the Lord. Sometimes that's a 1 minute question interaction. What are you reading? What are you learning? Tell me about it. Sometimes it's an hour long conversation. Sometimes it's a week long conversation of something that we're working through and wrestling with. But it's, to me, it's just so helpful. And in our marriage, I lead and she follows. And we do that because we know that God has designed it to be that way. Do we do that perfectly? No, we don't. But we try. I know my job is to love her and provide for her and protect her. And she joyfully serves our home and me and our kids. She loves to support me, and I'm so grateful for her and her care for me. And all that's described in Ephesians chapter 5. If dating is leading you to marriage, guys, I want you to ask yourself, am I ready for that kind of relationship? Or do I just want to hold hands during the session? That's where this is meant to take us. Guys, are you ready to lead? It's not actually as fun as it sounds. You can ask some of your older guys in your youth group and leaders and pastors. It's leading's tough. Girls, are you ready to follow? If he takes you someplace that maybe isn't your favorite, or I don't mean for lunch, I mean like moving you, or have to be willing to follow. Am I ready for all that? Do I want to represent Christ, his gospel to the world around us? Am I in a place where I can help this other person follow Christ? All that is in there. I think with all that, we can start to unpack who is this kind of person that I'm looking for. And we'll go faster here. Number two, who is this person you should be desiring for companionship? Who is it you should be looking for to do this dating thing? I'll try to make it so simple. If you think you're ready to date and you're ready for this level of companionship, then you need to start thinking about being with someone worth dating, worth marrying. And I don't mean how much money's in their bank account or what kind of car they drive. That's not it at all. I want us to be thinking about what God directs us to in his word. So different than what our world tries to elevate and tries to say is worth chasing. I think we're a little bit confused. Dudes, you think biceps will get you dates? Most girls could care less. I think we do that stuff just to impress the other bros. Biceps are cool. But I don't think it's a characteristic of making you worthy of dating. Having money or being funny or confident or whatever, if you don't have those things, you could at least make more money. That's not it. Our world says all that stuff is the stuff. For you ladies, the world says you got to look a certain way. You got to do all these things. You got to not be too intimidating. Don't be too smart. I think I read that somewhere. Stupid. What we've already said is truly all we need to know. You need to be someone who's following Christ And you need to be looking for someone who's genuinely doing the same. That's truly it. If you want to start entering into a dating relationship, you need to be someone who's genuinely following Christ. And you need to be looking for someone who's doing the same. Guys, look for a girl who's living for Jesus, who's committed to that. Ladies, look for a guy who's trying to be the man God's instructing him to be. You're looking for godly character. My favorite place to talk about Christian living is Colossians chapter 3. I think Colossians 3, I forgot where Colossians was for a second. Colossians 3 is such a great chapter for your own walk with the Lord, and there's so much there. I'd encourage you to read it and study it. Kind of the short version, 1-4. If you're a Christian, you're called to put your mind on things above, and you should seek those things. Fill your mind with God's word and the truth, and all that's so helpful. That's sort of the beginning. A Christian needs to love their Bible and to know it, and you know, trying to do something to know it better. Goes on in verses 5-11. In the Christian life, there are some things that need to go. Some sins that we need to stop doing, and then there's some things that need to replace them. Paul begins with sins that need to go, sins of the mind and the mouth and the heart. As a Christian, you're trying to get rid of those sins. So purity is going to be something you care a lot about. Holiness is going to be important to you. Dating's not motivated by lust. Someone who isn't really a Christian, they don't really care about sin. Apply that to dating. This person I'm thinking about asking out, do they care about sin? Do I see them fighting sin even in the teeniest, tiniest amount? Or is it a just free-for-all? Colossians goes on, verses 12-14. It isn't just what you don't do, but there's a new way to live. You should be compassionate and kind and humble. Your life should have flavors of meekness and patience and forgiveness. And Paul says, let me help you with all that. All that is just be loving. Are you the kind of person that's demonstrating the love of Christ at work in your life? That's it. It's so helpful. This person I'm interested in, do I recognize any of that? Do I see any shades of that, any hints of that kind of living? How the person interacts with their family, at least right now, this age of life, I think that's a really good indication of who this person really is. I get asked that a lot. How do we know? You know, I only see them at youth group and like an hour after youth group or whatever. Well, how they treat their siblings and how they treat their parents, how they talk about authority in their life. That's a good indication of, I think, who that person really is. That's the real them. Colossians ends here, chapter 3, this little section, sort of a summary, and I love it, verse 15. This is what a Christian kind of looks like. They let God's peace rule in their heart. They fill their life with his word, and in everything that they do, they just sort of live trying to represent Christ. And those are huge. But again, I'm just looking for, is there just any indication of those three? Do they have any sense of God's sovereignty, or are they just a worrywart about everything? Do they have any indication of God's peace in their life? How do they treat God's word? Do they have any desire to study or read or learn? Do they listen to a sermon, or what do they do? Like, that's helpful. Do they represent Christ in the things that they do in their life? Those are great indications. So helpful here. If you don't see any evidence of those, again, I just don't care the other characteristics that you're attracted to. I don't think they're the person for you, because I don't think God does. So it's important when you're interested in asking this person, I don't know what you, asking them out, is that what we call it now? I don't know what you call it. You guys probably have some weird word for it. When you're interested in dating this person, those are the kind of things that you need to be mindful of and that God wants you to be looking for. How they live, how they speak, how they think, how they respond. Let me go back to that first part. Is this someone I'm interested in super gluing myself to? Do they live like a Christian? Again, not perfection. Come on. I've heard this said before. It's so true. Jesus is in heaven, girls. You stop looking for Jesus. And guys, a little reality check. You're looking for this person. I mean, you want to use numbers, a 9 or a 10, and you're a 4 or a 5. Like, just a little perspective. Sorry. I love you. Words of a friend. But I think this is helpful. You're trying to get to know this person, to see who they really are, to decide whether or not this person is the one you want to leave your home and cleave to. Here's maybe a takeaway for this. Who you are now is a really important, and who they are right now is also a good indication of who they'll become. I know the Spirit's at work in all of our lives, and we're going to grow and change and be sanctified a lot. But I believe you're at this stage in your life, most of you, especially if you've been a Christian for a number of years. The habits you've formed now are going to continue. And let me reverse that. The habits you're not forming now will probably continue. So it's a good indication of who this person's going to become. Who are they right now? Well, I thought they would be somebody who would grow and... No, they never read their Bible. I thought they would. They claim to love the Lord. They don't live like it, but I thought they would. Who are you now? Who are you trying to become? It's so helpful. As a believer, we're meant to be attracted to that person's current godliness. I want some evidence of it. A little bit of that godliness is so important. Yeah, be attracted to them. That's great. It's good. But one of the things you should like most about that other person isn't their wavy hair or whatever. It's their Christ-likeness. That's supposed to be like the number one thing that you like about them. And I think that's real low on our list right now. We want it to be on the list so that mom and dad are cool. But it's meant to be number one. That's meant to be way at the top and helpful for us as we think about this person. Okay, dating is a good thing. It's normal to have that desire. God put it there. So helpful to remember. But God also tells us the kind of person that we should be desiring to date. Young people, please don't let the world mislead you. Don't take the world's, checklist of who that person should look like and conform to it and make it your own. Be attracted to someone who loves Jesus, who's living for Jesus, even in a small amount. I think if you'll do that, you'll find you're going to be on the right track. That's a good place to start. Okay, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. It's truly a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. And I pray that you would help us to follow it. Lord, give these teens a desire to submit to your word. Let it shape their lives as they think about this next chapter, as they anticipate the next season of life and dating and marriage. Father, give wisdom. Help them to lean on those who love them most as they contemplate dating and marriage. Father, their parents, of course, and pastors and people in the church who care about them. Lord, I pray you give us enough energy for the day in front of us. Pray that you'd continue to impact our lives and change our hearts. Lord, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.